Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios. Powered by RumbleOn.com. Morning Drive. On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
We're going to limit the access to fans. We'll basically remove that. We limited to essentially the complimentary admissions associated with our student athletes and a limited number of official team parties, and those who are credentialed media. So we'll be playing in front of a lot of empty seats here in Nashville. It's unfortunate, but the realities around us dictate that's the appropriate decision. We were meeting this morning with our athletics directors, and the very first agenda item was, is coronavirus, what does it mean now, what's happening on our campuses? And as the day played out, we had new information at the national level that guided our decision-making, specifically the NCAA's COVID-19 advisory panel. I never thought I'd be uttering those words. Made a recommendation to reduce fan access to NCAA tournaments. And when you look at the reasoning that we learned, that created a need for a deeper conversation and eventually a decision that we announced tonight to limit fan access here in Nashville.
Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2. Marquise Munson behind the glass. Well, fellas, I got to tell you, this might be the craziest day in the history of sports, at least that I've been around, after everything that went on last night. You heard SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey there in the show open talking about how the SEC tournament now being played or scheduled to be played with no fans being in attendance. Same thing goes for the NCAA tournament scheduled to begin next week. I mean, this is a crazy time in sports. Want to welcome Corey to the show right now. Corey, what's going on, my man?
Good morning. Yeah. I was telling you before, I've been at this for almost 30 years, and last night was the craziest night I've ever been a part of. The steady dropping of just huge information and just trying to process it all. And, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. You're just a little baby sportscaster.
Yes.
You know, and just as far as person in this world, I've never been through anything like this. You know, we've heard about illnesses in the past, things like SARS, which was way worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've just not gotten here. And now in this country, which where we consider ourselves world leaders and ahead of the curve and everything, that we're having to deal with this and watch it unfold on television. I think that's even one of the more shocking aspects of it, is to seeing it unfold on television and then just dealing with people who've got their head in the ground over the whole thing. It's just one thing after the next, and it's staggering.
It really is. And last night, you know, the way the day evolved yesterday, obviously the NCAA tournament news, I think, was the first big shoe to drop yesterday. You knew that was probably going to be the case. Just kind of reading the tea leaves. The NBA had already been touring around and playing games with no fans in attendance. I think the Warriors originally were scheduled to play their game tonight with no fans in attendance. So you knew that the NCAA, this was going to be a decision they had to make. As far as yesterday was concerned, for the majority of the day, we thought maybe you can get through the SEC tournament with fans still in attendance.
You thought maybe with the people already invested in tickets and hotel rooms that they would slide it through. And,
that quickly changed.
Yeah.
That very quickly changed. Even, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who the Predators are playing or are scheduled to play on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, they came out with a statement, I believe, 2 days ago. The Ohio governor was talking about, you know, really advising against large gatherings in public, especially for sports and indoor arenas. And Columbus basically came out and said, you know, our games are scheduled to take place as normal. And then yesterday in the afternoon, they came out and said, you know, Thursday against Pittsburgh, no fans in attendance. And until further notice, that's going to be the way they operate. And once that started to happen, I knew, man, this is getting really serious in a hurry. But I had no idea what was going to transpire as quickly as it did last night. It was just crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think you usually have time to come to grips with things, and we were just coming to grips with the NCAA tournament going on without fans and hockey going on without fans and the NBA going on without fans. And then you watch what happened in Oklahoma City, where both teams get pulled off the floor, and you find out Rudy Gobert not only has coronavirus, but made a point to touch everyone's microphone and recorder 2 days earlier after talking about coronavirus. And it just, I mean, it was one of those things that kind of rocked you to your core and just saying, oh my gosh. And it was amazing to see how quickly the NBA went from get off the floor, Rudy Gobert has coronavirus, to we are shutting the whole thing down.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when you saw Mark Cuban's reaction, I mean, he was stunned, and he's one of the owners, and he's one of what, the top five owners in all of sports as far as power and prestige and swag and all that. And he, you know, and he's in communication with these guys, and he was shocked, absolutely shocked. And I guess we all live in this bubble where we think these guys aren't going to get it. And, you know, one of these guys gets it, and most of them are probably going to get it because they sweat a lot on each other.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting. I know all those guys got quarantined in the locker room last night. But to see how quickly that escalated to no fans, hey, get this team off the floor, NBA season canceled or postponed.
Yeah.
Because they're going to play again. But it's just like, wow.
No, it was nuts. Like, my brother is a big Oklahoma City fan. So he texted me right when that game was being postponed. He's like, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but something's going on. So, obviously, when you hear the sports environment we have today, and it was like right up until tip-off. Like, they were ready
to
play.
Oh, they were seconds away.
They were getting ready to play.
The Jazz team doctors, my understanding, went sprinting on the floor seconds before and grabbed the officials, and then they all got together and pulled everybody off the floor. I mean, that thing almost tipped off.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it doesn't, and you're wondering, okay, the game is postponed. The fans are leaving. What happened?
Oh,
I think everybody
reports were already out there because we knew Rudy Gobert
wasn't
ill.
There. Yeah,
he was ill. And here's the other part of that report. They knew Rudy Gobert was ill earlier in the day.
Right.
He was feeling better. I mean, because we've heard that coronavirus can the symptoms can be mild.
Yeah.
It can be short for some people. It's different for almost everybody. But they tested him for strep. They tested him for the flu, and they tested him for a bronchial infection.
Mm-hmm.
And when all those things came back negative, that's when they finally just said, well, we better test him for coronavirus just to make sure.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like they didn't think he had it. And he had it.
And he had it.
And he had it. And he's been around his team. He's played in games. And it's a mess.
And at that point, if you're the NBA, I mean, you really don't have a choice at that point. That the decision is almost made for you.
Because your whole league's going to have it if you keep playing games.
And that's regardless of whether or not you're playing games in front of fans or not. Like, this is not, from everything you read, it's not an airborne virus. Like, this is transmitted from close contact.
Yeah.
So you can not have fans in the building, and that's fine. Still, chances are pretty high if you're playing a game and, you know, you've been in contact with Rudy Gobert, the Jazz are out there, maybe you played against the Jazz in the last week or so. There's a pretty decent chance you can transmit that virus. So that's...
Well, and again, it's... It's not about the players getting sick.
No, it's not.
And that's what people swing and miss on this thing with is, you know, 99.99% of the players in the NBA are going to get it and be just fine.
Yeah.
But it's about the people who are around them. It's about their wives. It's about their children. It's about their parents. It's about their parents. It's about their next door neighbors and slowing the spread and making sure those people don't get it. It's about containing, shutting things off because – you know, you and I will be fine, but if you have it and you don't know it and you see grandma and grandpa, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. And I think a lot of people have kind of lost sight of that. I've seen a lot of conversation on Twitter about, oh, they're overreacting. Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
And this is why they're doing this. I mean, you can't just have...
They're trying to save lives.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. This is a preventative measure to try... Look, we don't want to become... Italy.
Yeah. On Tuesday in Italy, 168 people died.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's call that a plane crash. All right. A really big plane crash. When a plane goes down, do we take notice? Do we take action? Do we do something about it?
I'd say so.
Yeah, we do. We shut down a whole line of jets that they built because of a couple of crashes. So we've got over 4,000 dead now in the world.
It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And these people are not expendable.
No.
Okay? Just because they're elderly or have pre-existing conditions does not... I keep hearing that. Well, it's only the elderly and pre-existing conditions. Yeah? So they're expendable?
Right.
What, are we trying to clear out Medicare?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. They're people.
Yeah. That's the craziest part about all of this, and that's why these leagues, I think, have a responsibility to take action. And look, this isn't over. I mean, and we're going to talk about this coming up as well, but now that the NBA has made their decision to suspend their season, you got the NCAA tournament coming up. At this point, would any of us be really surprised if that doesn't happen? I mean, I think we're probably trending in that direction, that the NCAA tournament probably won't take place as scheduled. That's just my thoughts on it.
I think most of us at this point expect to have witnessed our last sporting event for about 2 weeks. I mean, because we haven't heard any timeline on anything. I think that's the other thing that's alarming.
Yeah.
We don't know. But, I mean, from the curb of things in China, where it looks like they're getting things under control, that, you know, if we shut things down kind of where we're headed here, it'll probably take about 2 weeks to get things under control.
Yeah, and that's kind of the crazy part here is we don't know. Like, nobody in the NBA knows when they're going to be playing again. And nobody, you know, in terms of maybe fan attendance at NCAA events or, I mean, heck, even the NFL draft. If you're the NFL right now, what are you thinking about?
I brought that up to my boss yesterday at work. I'm like, Nashville got lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Vegas and you think, oh, we got the draft, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm not medically qualified enough to determine what the difference is between large gatherings indoors and large gatherings outside. But, I mean, imagine, you know, 600,000 people in the same general location for the NFL draft. It's just very difficult to imagine that taking place at the same level with all of this going on. And we're still a little bit away from that. I mean, we've got more than a month before that takes place. But if you're the NFL, and I'm sure that they are, I know that they are, you got to be thinking about contingency plans for that right now because that's the reality they're going to face.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, these are things that I guess smarter people than me prepare for, but who prepares for this?
Yeah.
I mean, you all, you know, they always say to have a get out bag. You know.
Yeah.
They always say to, you know, my wife, she's a mom. She's a worrier. That's what moms get, you know, part of the job description, worrier. And, you know, we were talking about it the other day, you know, they said, wherever you are, be prepared to be there for 2 weeks. And so, you know, we're trying to be smart. We don't want to drive the panic. We understand that we're going to be okay. But at the same time, you got to understand we could all be here for a while.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, that doesn't mean you need 900 rolls of toilet paper.
Yes. Leave the toilet paper alone.
And it doesn't mean that grocery stores will be closed. But it just means we need to be smart.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We'll get into the NBA's decision to cancel the season and maybe the ripple effect that could have on other leagues, including the NHL. That's next. 615-737-1025. If you've got thoughts on maybe what I would call the craziest situation I've ever seen in the history of sports. We'll be back. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Royce Young from ESPN.com last night, live from Oklahoma City in just a crazy situation between the Thunder and the Jazz. Game postponed last night right before tip-off when it was discovered that Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus, and that led to Utah Jazz having to hang around, basically be quarantined in their locker room, had to be tested for the coronavirus. I think eventually they were allowed to get back on the team bus. They're still in Oklahoma City at this moment, and I think it's still unclear whether or not they're going to be allowed to go back to Utah today or if they're going to have to hang out and be quarantined in the hotel room. Just a lot still up in the air, Corey.
2 weeks in a hotel room could be.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I don't know. I mean, none of us know. And I think that's what's so unsettling about it is, you know, because it can take 10 to 15 days.
Yeah.
I think in Israel, I heard that anybody coming into the country has to be quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, I think we're looking at shutting all this down for at least 2 weeks. You know, I just said to you in the break, I think April 1.
Yeah.
I think April 1 is a good target for all of us to try to get life back on schedule. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with those teams.
Yeah.
I think that fever test administered Oklahoma, that's the first I heard of that.
Yeah.
That seems silly. I mean, what do you think? Those guys are going to get sick in 2 hours?
Yeah. This takes a little bit longer.
I mean, you know, look, if you know, and Rudy Gobert wasn't in the building.
Right.
His teammates were, and they were all exposed to Rudy Gobert. So I guess the health officials are like, look, you know, we're not going to know if you're going to have it right now.
Right.
You're just going to have to go home and monitor. But I think the NBA has asked all teams to self-quarantine. And so how do you self-quarantine? That's the next big question.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go to Corey, who has called in wanting to weigh in on this. Corey, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. I guess if you want to say there's guilt, I guess I was guilty of kind of wondering if media was kind of driving this as a story because, you know, clickbait ratings, you hear that kind of stuff. But when you see these entities shutting down these events, they're losing big money. They're not losing big money to fit somebody else's agenda, number one.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Right. Right, and they're smart enough to know the difference. Number two, how many, you know, we talked about, when he was tested positive, he wasn't feeling that bad. He maybe just kind of felt a little off and whatever. How many people do we know, or even us, have that for a couple of days and just shake it off? How many people out there aren't getting tested because they aren't affected that much that we don't even know about? And I'm not trying to scare anybody.
No, you're exactly right.
But you have to put it in perspective.
You're exactly right, and you know, but you also have to have awareness.
Yeah,
and we've been exposed to this. You're talking about on the news for a few days now, mm-hmm. or even a couple weeks now, and you have to have the awareness where if you've got a chest condition that you got or a fever, you're thinking I better get checked. I better make sure. But there is I don't know, a denial in people. Or I guess it is a denial that I've got it, number one, and a denial that it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm not that sick, so it's not that
Look,
bad.
Look, I got to tell you, I've been guilty of that plenty of times in the past.
Yeah, but you weren't told what you had was potentially fatal.
That's true.
So, I mean, look, anybody who's had the flu doesn't go to work because it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And people die from the flu. But we don't go to work because it's horrible. This is one that can be fatal. And it's not horrible
right.
for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. I think that's why you know there could be a ton of people walking around that have it and they just don't know. And that's part of why the NBA is doing what they're doing in terms of trying to curb this off as quickly as they can. And you know, Corey, the NHL came out last night and said, you know, they're not prepared to do anything at this point. They're going to have conversations with the NHLPA. And they'll have an announcement sometime today. And the way I see it, I think it's going to be almost impossible to continue playing games after the NBA has set this precedent. I mean, I fully expect, and I don't have any inside knowledge, I don't have anything or anybody telling me this, but I would expect when the NHL does make their announcement today, they're probably going to follow suit with the NBA and suspend their season. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think both of them will. The NHL will join in suspending their season. It'll probably be till around April 1, and when they come back, they might play a couple games and then start the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. What's going to be interesting to see is these conference tournaments all made the decision last night to go on without fans. Do they take the further step today and just say we're not playing?
It's very possible.
I mean,
we haven't even talked about
Fred Hoiberg yeah.
last night. I mean, he was just like hunched over on the bench. It looked like he was about to like pass out over
yeah,
there.
And did not look like, good. And the guy next to him is applying hand sanitizer.
Yeah, it's like,
that's the other bit. Fred Hoiberg looks like he's sick.
Yeah.
And the guy next to him is just like feverishly putting on hand sanitizer.
Make sure I've got all
and
my
you're just like,
covered.
What the hell is happening here? Are we on crazy pills?
Yeah, like, why is he out there?
Yes. And again, okay. And I think I said this to you guys before the show. Information is your friend.
Yes.
You've had the whole world speculating on Fred Hoiberg last night. And the whole time, team officials said he was checked out before the game. They knew he was sick, but it was okay. But nobody knew that. Information helps.
Yes. And look, that was my first thought was, oh, my God, Fred Hoiberg's got the coronavirus. He's sitting out there on the bench, and he is just sitting there in the middle of the game. And I thought for sure at that point that after
all
that
sports,
game, all sports, they're just done. We're sitting here. Rudy Gobert has already contracted the disease. Fred Hoiberg looks like he's about to die on the bench. Like, it was just a really bad situation. Tom Hanks, for God's sake, last night
and Rita
came
Wilson.
Out and said, Rita Wilson said they have coronavirus. Now, the latest report is they're in stable condition at an Australian hospital. So it looks like Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson will be okay. But it's just crazy stuff going on right now. And I think the NHL, I mean, I know a lot of people were planning on going up to the game in Columbus on Saturday night here. I mean, 102.5 The Game was taking a bus trip up to Columbus to go watch the game. Obviously, we knew yesterday afternoon that wasn't going to happen with Columbus making the decision to play their games not in front of fans. But I would imagine, and look, again, I don't know this. Maybe they play tonight. I don't know. But I would imagine that game Saturday probably is not going to happen anyway.
Yeah, look, if you're going to cancel games, why play tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it really is, because it's all about slowing the spread.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, if any of these NHL players get sick, 99.999% of them are going to be just fine. But it's about slowing the spread everywhere. And I think you and I are both in the camp where we'll be surprised if they're playing games tonight. The Preds are in Toronto tonight, right?
Yes, they're in Toronto. And look, the other part of this, too, is if you're the NHL, and I'm sure they've thought about this since last night, there are a lot of teams and cities that share arenas with the NBA. Mm-hmm. And with Rudy Gobert and the Jazz, I think I read a report, they've been in three or four arenas over the course of the past week that share arenas with the NHL. And that's another thing that you have to be cognizant of. I know that, you know, the locker room areas aren't exactly the same, and there's different areas for different teams. But this is just getting to the point now where I think if you're the NHL and you take a look at what's happened in the NBA, I'm not sure you can really justify going back and playing, because if you do, and then, God forbid, tonight or tomorrow, it comes out that one of your players has tested positive for coronavirus and you made the decision to go ahead and play, I mean, you're going to get hammered for that, and probably deservedly so.
Well, I mean, it's just that whole thing of we don't know. I mean, we don't know if anybody's sick. It takes 10 to 15 days, I guess, is the incubation period. And so we're not going to know. And you know what? I hope nobody's sick. I hope the whole league is clean.
Yeah.
I do. And I hope everybody else in the NBA is clean. I do. But I get it. I get it. You know, just because you don't see any sharks in the water doesn't mean you want to jump in. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it. And you know, I was glad with the call we got from Corey, because I think there are going to be a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
Because I saw a lot of words of cowards and can't believe this and this is silliness on social media, and people just not understanding. And, you know, well, people who are in the high-risk category shouldn't go to games. Well, yeah, they shouldn't. That's true.
Sure.
But if their families go and come back, guess what?
They're still in just as much danger.
Yes.
Yeah, like that's the problem.
And that's where we're all at.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to get into, I mean, I think you can make a pretty good argument. This is the biggest story in the history of sports. I mean, I think it really could be. It's certainly trending in that direction.
Yeah.
With the effect it's going to have and could potentially have on multiple different leagues. We'll get into that next. 615-737-1025 if you've got thoughts on the coronavirus and how it's affecting sports. We'll be back. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Corey Curtis from News 2. And what a great. Yeah.
When did that happen?
When you wake up to come do a show with me.
Okay.
You become great.
Because no one in my house and no one in my office says that.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
I'm going to hang out here more often.
Positive affirmation. That's what we're all about
Stuart
here
Smiley.
On Morning Drive. You heard some comments there from the Hawks and Knicks game last night. Vince Carter, you know, hitting a shot there. I think the last shot he took in the game was a three-pointer that he made.
Nailed it.
And it's got a lot of people talking, okay, the NBA has postponed their season. Could this be the last game that Vince Carter plays in his career? And he talked about that. after the game last night. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I'm appreciative, but, you know, I do my time and just walk out the door is okay with me, you know, believe it or not, but it's cool. Believe it or not, it's cool. Game's been good. Sure yet, so it's cool though. You know, basketball has been good to me. I've enjoyed each and every moment of it, good and bad. So if this is it, it's all good. At least I made my last basket.
You seem to be telling yourself in your head at least trying to say there's gonna be some games.
It's just like I said. It literally just happened, and you're trying to process all of this. So, like I said, if it is, you know, I'm okay with it. It's just weird how it ended. You know, you have that when you know it's the last game. You have that drive here. It's like, well, this is the last one. I didn't have that thought that drive today. You know,
and that's Vince Carter after the game last night. Look. I don't think this is going to be Vince Carter's last game. The NBA season has been postponed. It has not been canceled. I would imagine they're going to pick play back up at some point.
If they go straight to the playoffs, though.
That could be, though.
Then he will have missed it.
Yeah, then he will have missed it, and that will be his last game. Certainly a great career for Vince Carter, but it is kind of crazy. Like, if you're, you know, Dwayne Wade last year and you've got, like, this whole season planned out, you know exactly when your last game is going to be. To show up last night and play a game against the Knicks, thinking you still got a pretty good chunk of the season left to play, and then potentially that's it.
Yep.
Like that's got to be a crazy feeling if you're Vince Carter.
Yeah, I mean, you've got an idea when it's the end of the line, and all of a sudden this game, you know, and I think he spoke on it in another part of the interview was, you know, I was getting information. We were all getting information as the game was going on.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, as that game's going on, he's processing, this could be it. This could be my last game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got him in that game, you know, I think for a reason. Because knowing it could be his last game. And I guess it would be terrible if he didn't know it was his last game.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad he got that and you can, you know, had some time to process it, got a chance to make his last shot. You know, I'm old enough to remember watching Vince Carter play in college. And he was an electric high flyer. You know, I'm a Jordan era guy, and I'm from Chicago, so you can imagine how I feel about Michael Jordan.
Right.
But, you know, for years, we always pointed to guys as the next Jordan. And Vince Carter was one of those guys. He could be the next Jordan, not because he went to North Carolina, but because he was 6'6 and could jump out of the gym. And, you know, I never thought his career would span 20 years like this. You know, because he wasn't always a great shooter, and he became a good 3-point shooter and a good shooter. He stayed healthy, and I mean, 20 years in the NBA. And for a guy who was known as a leaper, jumper, you know, because the legs go eventually, and for him to still be going, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's had to change his game, and you know, not only his reaction last night, but you know, I was kind of paying attention to ESPN when I got home last night, and you know, the Nuggets were playing against the Mavericks, and you could see in real time Mark Cuban's reaction in the stands of him finding out that the NBA was going to suspend their season. He got up, he started showing it to coaches and players. I think he eventually took the phone over to the refs and showed them that it was going to be suspended. It was just kind of a crazy real-time reaction from Mark Cuban there, and he had some comments after the game as well that were just kind of he was talking about, you know, I think we have those comments. Mark Cuban after the game last night was interviewed right after the game ended between the Nuggets and the Mavericks.
I mean, the thing about it is I'm not an expert, and I'm not going to try to be an expert. And the NBA, our plan here was to defer to the NBA. I mean, they have people who specialize in this, and they're talking to the CDC, the health organization, HHS. So I don't want to pretend and try to fake it, you know. So we were just going to defer to the NBA.
How do you assess the decision?
I mean, I trust Adam. I mean, you know what? It's really not about basketball or money. I mean, literally, if this thing is just exploding to the point where, you know, all of a sudden players and others have had it, you think about your family, you know. You want to really make sure you're doing this the right way. You know, because now it's much more personal, and you've seen what's happening in other countries, but just the whole idea that it's come this close and potentially a couple players have it, just stunning isn't the right word. I mean, it's just crazy.
What concerns do you have right now for your team?
It's not about team. It's just about, you know, the country and life in general, you know. I mean, we've got the pieces in place. I'm concerned about the, you know, if now that we're not playing games, what about all the people who work here on an hourly basis? You know, we'll put together a program for them, but, you know, there's just so many things that go through your head, right? It's hard to know exactly what's right. You know, talking to some of the guys who aren't playing on the bench, it's like, look, I don't think you guys are going to be able to leave town. It's not like, okay, this is like a lockout time and just go enjoy and we'll figure it out and come back. It's like, no, I mean, the whole idea is the only way, and I'm guessing here, I'm not the expert, the only way we're going to have any control over to making sure our players are healthy is if we know where they're at and who they're working with, you know?
Lots of things to process there from Mark Cuban, talking about, you know, it's not like this is going to be some vacation for the players.
Yeah,
where
it's
they
not
can
like
just
they can go fly
off
to Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, you're telling them, that's what I'm saying, you know, you got to stay home. And look, it doesn't mean you got to stay in your house 24 hours, 24/7. You're not like locked in like the people were in China in their right hotel room for 2 weeks. But it means like you stay in unless you have to. And, you know, like you said, NBA players self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Do not go fly to Vegas. Do not go fly to South Beach. Do not go partying. You know, we're not playing for a reason.
Right.
So you've got to follow suit.
Well, the other part of this, and Mark Cuban brought it up there, it's the arena workers, the hourly employees.
Yes.
Like, and this, I mean, let's be honest, this could have an impact here in Nashville.
Well, no, I mean, look, it's going to have an impact everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of Americans who work hourly. There are millions of Americans who are salaried employees and have a limited number of sick days.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, myself, and, you know, I do okay. I know I do okay. But could I go 3 days without pay and it not have an effect on me? No.
No.
No, I couldn't. I mean, I'm the earner in my house. And if I have to stay home for 2 weeks, I think I have 8 sick days
right
in my company policy. So that would leave me, you know, not getting paid for 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, what if it's longer than that? You know, and these are some of the problems that we're going to have to tackle as a society. And I think the president did talk about it some, you know, last night, trying to get some aid for these people and trying to get corporations to understand that you can't punish your employees. They want to be there.
Yeah.
They want to be there. And, you know, if you want to keep the economy rolling, people still have to have money to spend.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then they don't spend it. And the money you saved, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and the other part is, you know, the NBA postponing their season. Maybe the NHL does the same. Those people who work at the arena during the games and rely on those games for their income, I mean, what are they going to do? And you heard Mark Cuban talk about in that clip there.
Putting a package
He's going to
together.
Try to put some sort of package together in order to help them through that. But there's no guarantee that that's going to be the case everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Cuban can do that. I'm not sure every organization and every owner can do that.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Cuban's been a progressive guy for a while.
Yeah.
You know, does that mean he's going to pick up the tab on all those guys? I'm certain he could. I'm certain he could. But, yeah, I mean, you know, what happens to the people who work at Panera?
Yeah.
What happens, you know, I mean, people who work at Target, you know. How many of those places stay open? How many of those places limit staffing? You know, because like I said, you know, grocery stores are going to stay open.
Yeah.
And like I said, places like Target, I'm sure, are going to stay open. But not every place is probably going to stay open. And I'm not trying to cause a panic here, but
it's just reality.
Yeah. When you see us limiting things, you know, and it's coming fast and furious, we don't know where that line is going to end. We don't. You know, because I live in Williamson County, and we've been out of school since last Friday.
Yeah.
And my concern was, okay, we're out of school, and I'm all for it if it's the right thing to do, but the kids are all going to be at the mall, at Target, at the movie theater together. Yeah. Well, I went to the mall yesterday with my daughter to take her to get some candy at the candy shop because I promised her.
Yeah.
There was nobody there. I realized it was Wednesday at noon, but there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there are, and look, you go on the road, there's cars out there. So, mm-hmm. But I think people are already cutting back. on where they're going and what they're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to follow. When we come back, there were two actual games that were played last night in the SEC tournament. We'll talk about those real quickly and also discuss what we think the future of this SEC tournament is going to look like. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2 taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Corey, there were actual games that got played last night in the SEC tournament. We want to hit on those quickly. Georgia with an 81-63 win.
A whooping.
Against Kermit Davis and the Ole Miss Rebels. And then Vanderbilt.
A whooping.
With all the momentum they had gained in the last couple games heading into the SEC tournament, they got handled pretty well last night by Arkansas.
Didn't they have like 6 points with 6 minutes left in the first
half?
I think
so. It was a rough start.
Wow.
Munson, you were there for it, weren't you? Or at least part of the day?
Well, I was there for the first game.
There you go.
And I watched the second game.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things like, and I talked about this after the show, after we ended, that I would not be surprised if Arkansas wins the SEC tournament just because of the talent that they got back. And injuries played a big part in how their season played out in the SEC play. And obviously, if you look at their SEC record, you're probably like, you're crazy. They're not going to win the SEC. But they're a team that going into it, a lot of people expected to be one of those top four teams in the SEC and maybe win the SEC. So I think obviously it's going to be hard playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Potentially
to try to win these games. But I think that was kind of a no-brainer that they were going to beat Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, they look good. And you mentioned the injuries. I think they were 1-5 with Isaiah Joe out. So, like, that's a big deal. I mean, you get him back, you come back, and you look all of a sudden pretty good. But just a tough way to end the season for Vanderbilt. I thought Jerry Stackhouse, given everything that he had to go through this year, the injuries they dealt with, what they went through last year, it's kind of the mental part of this game. I thought Jerry Stackhouse did a pretty decent job in his first year.
Well, I mean, look, they were tougher than they were a year ago. They lost an NBA player for the second straight year, which certainly does not help. I don't think Stackhouse did a bad job. I don't think he did a bad job. Right. But, you know, there were stretches of the season where you looked at this team and you're like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
But, you know, he was able to keep it together and win some games down the stretch. You know, I was just going to say, as you talked about Arkansas and getting guys back, it's not about the X's and O's. It's more about the Jimmies and the Joes,
right.
Even the Isaiah Joes.
Nice.
And so, you know, when you lose an NBA player last 2 years and you're not that deep, you know, there are some teams that can absorb losing an NBA player because they have other NBA players.
Yep.
But Vanderbilt's not one of them. And, you know, they've had it for 2 years now, and gosh, how many SEC wins do they have in the last three seasons?
Not very many.
No. It's
handful.
It's a dark period in Vanderbilt basketball.
It is. And look, I'm glad we got to see some basketball last night because right now the SEC tournament is still on in terms of being played in front of no fans. That's still scheduled to take place today. I would not be surprised, Corey, if at some point today or maybe some point tonight we get to a place where the rest of this SEC tournament does not get finished.
Well, yeah, and look, Fred Hoiberg, the Nebraska coach, you saw him, if you saw it last night, looked terrible on the bench, ended up being taken to the hospital, and they said he had influenza A, which they refer to as the common cold, and apparently was checked out before the game. But for all of us who are monitoring this on television, on social media, it really rocked you to see, you know, coming off of Rudy Gobert having coronavirus, and now you're seeing this coach on the bench at the game, sick.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the heck is going on? And, you know, I openly said, I think on Twitter last night, if he has coronavirus, we have seen the last basketball game. Because all these conference tournaments will get canceled, and they still might. They just seeing that situation unfold may be enough for people to go, we're going to shut it down. Now, you know, I could say I hope not. I don't know if I hope not or not.
Yeah, that's a tough place to be.
Because you like for the guys to be able to play the games. And I like for people to be able to watch the games on television at the very least. But at the same time, we need to do what's smart. And what's smart yesterday at 5 o'clock may not be smart today at 8 o'clock. Things are moving that fast.
Yeah. It's a situation that I think you and I would both agree. Obviously, we've never seen anything quite like it, but I don't remember, not only in sports, my entire life really seeing anything like this in our country, just
no.
How quickly it's taken place.
No. I mean, no. I mean, I'm almost 50, and, you know, I've lived through the gas crisis of the 70s.
Yeah.
I grew up in Chicago. I've lived through snowstorms and being snowed in. This is a first. I mean, this is a first. I mean, because we've seen these things on television. We've seen them in other countries. We've heard about them. We've been told to prepare for them, but we've succeeded in keeping them out of our country and it not being an issue. And for it to be here and to be an issue is just something we as Americans aren't accustomed to.
Yeah.
And it almost, you know, we all know we're mortal, but we really all feel mortal now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that we aren't that special. We're just like everybody else.
Right. Yeah, there's no question. And look, we've talked earlier in the show about the NHL having to make a decision at some point today. And Columbus has been a big part of the conversation around the NHL. They decided yesterday to close off their games to fans. Aaron Portsline, who reports on the Blue Jackets from The Athletic, says, as of now, Columbus players still planning to head to Nationwide Arena for morning meetings and an optional skate until they hear otherwise from the club / the NHL. But most I've contacted expect the NHL to follow the NBA's decision late Wednesday and suspend the season. I think everybody at this point, they're expecting the NHL's announcement today to be that games probably for the foreseeable future are going to be put on hold.
Yeah. I mean, that's not surprising. I mean, you're going to have – I'm sure what they'll do is they'll have some type of conference call with all the owners, with the NHL's players union, and just get everybody on the same page as to what the plan is, how long we're going to shut it down for, when teams can resume team activities. You know, my guess is it's going to be 10 days to 2 weeks, you know, and then you can start getting together. We'll practice for a week or 3 days, and then we'll pick up the games again. That's just me guessing.
Yeah.
And I think the NBA will be similar. I think they're going to allow this. I think they'll sit out this incubation period, which is about 2 weeks, and then come back for a short practice period and then resume games. And hopefully that's enough to slow things down.
Do you think there's any chance that the not only the rest of the SEC tournament gets played, but we get into a situation where NCAA tournament starts getting played?
I think there's certainly a chance where the NCAA tournament doesn't get played because the NCAA tournament's not like the NHL and NBA playoffs where they could just simply slide those along.
Right.
You know, you're talking about, you know, these are colleges, venues are booked, and if you don't hit those venues at those times, you know, I guess you could say the same thing, the schedules are out for the NBA, but they're fluid during the playoffs because they're the homes to those teams.
Right.
And in the NCAA tournament, unless you went to on-campus sites. So I guess, you know, that could be a possibility as well, because the NCAA tournament was already talking about moving to smaller venues.
Right.
They could play and play on campus sites. And that would be an interesting solution if they decided to do that. But again, I think we're still, if you're going to play the NCAA tournament, you're probably talking about waiting 2 weeks before you have a selection Sunday.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting because, I mean, a huge part of that NCAA television package is the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
It's a massive part. And so it would be interesting if they're just going to give that up or if they're going to try to make that happen somehow. For me, emotionally, I think for all of us, I think if we had that gold at the end of the rainbow, you know, we got that information of, hey, this is what we're doing – and we are planning on doing this. It's just going to take a little bit while to get there. We're going to get there, everybody. Just hang in there together.
Yeah.
I think that might help people emotionally a little bit through this.
I think so, too. And I'm interested to see if at some point the NCAA or the NHL, the NBA, all of these leagues and organizations, they can get to a point where they're confident enough to maybe put a timeline and a solution on it. Because that's going to be, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the challenge for them over the course of the next few weeks.
Because last night, it's like those sci-fi movies where they're in the spaceship, yeah, and they just hit like that emergency self-destruct button. You know, because it's like, whoa, he's sick! Bang!
Boom!
And now it's like, okay, what do we do?
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's got to figure out. And I know they want to have a smart, clear-cut message and comprehensive plan before they come out.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some I don't knows in this. Like, what happens if somebody gets sick a week from now? I don't know. What happens if somebody gets sick 3 weeks from now? I don't know. But have a plan. Have information. Again, information is your friend. Because when people speculate, their minds always go to the worst places.
Yeah.
So cut off as much speculation as they can with actual information.
When we come back, we got to see SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey kind of react to this in real time yesterday. We'll play some of those comments yesterday from the SEC Network. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.